The New Testament gives us three relations that God sustains toward man. Number one, aren't you glad God is for you? Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say then to these things? Paul had to speak to some things that were coming against him. And one of the things that Paul liked to say, if God is for us, who can successfully be against us? The Message translation says, with God on our side, how can we lose? Since God is for you, what difference does it make who or what is coming against you? Amen. He is for you. Amen. He is not upset with you. He is not down on you. So don't be down on yourself. He is not against us. So don't be against yourself. Remember who you are. That you are in Christ Jesus, and that you are His very masterpiece. And when He looks at you, He sees you with eyes of faith and eyes of love. I love what Acts 17:28 in the first part of the Passion's translation says. It is through Him that we live, and that we function, and that we have our identity. Our identity is only in Him. And we should be excited about that. And we should remind ourselves of that on a daily basis. Of who we are, what we have, and where we are in Christ Jesus. Paul said it to the church at Philippi like this. Delight yourself in the Lord and continue to rejoice that you are in Him. Because you are in Him, the grass is greener. Amen. Because you are in Him, the sky is bluer. Amen. Because we are in Him, and we draw our identity from Him, not by what other people think about us, not by what other people have spoken about us, by what the Word of God says concerning our life. He's for us. Are you for Him? He's not against us. We should never be against Him. In Psalms 118, verse 6 and 7, in the NLT, it says it this way. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere men do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. And I love this. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. I will look in triumph on my enemies. For you see, in a time of trouble, He shall hide you in His pavilion, in the secret place of the Most High. He shall set your life upon a rock. And as a result, the scripture says, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Therefore, I'm going to offer in this secret place sacrifices of joy. I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise. I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. Because I'm in the secret place. The tower of His presence. Now shall your head be lifted up. Amen. Have you discovered that in a difficult time, maybe time of discouragement, maybe a time where you feel like throwing in the towel and you feel like quitting, that He's right there with you. And that He is the very glory. And that He is the very lifter up of your head. He will lift you. He will encourage you. And He will strengthen you. Number two, not only is He for us, but thank God He's with us. How many of you are with Him? Not just occasionally, not just when it's convenient, but you're with Him. You're on His side, and you are for Him. We're not alone. Because He said in His Word that He would never, ever leave us nor forsake us. We must remind ourselves that He's with us. He's with us in our family. He's with us in our business. He's with us in good times. Yeah. He's with us in difficult times. And I like that. Because I have faced some difficult times in my life. Have you not? The crises of life come to each and every one of us. Somebody says, I've never experienced any crisis. You haven't gone far enough yet. But in the midst of the crisis, we've got the Christ. The Son of God. Who will never leave us nor forsake us. Isaiah said it like this, 41:10. Let's read it together. I love how you participate. Ready, read. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yes, I will hold you with the right hand of my righteousness. David said it like this. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What did David say? He said, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Glory to God. And even some of you today, maybe even though one of those situations where you're going through the valley, but thank God he's the God of the valley. And he will never leave us or forsake us there. He is with you. He is with you. Psalm 91 says this. Because you have set your love upon him. He says, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and answer. I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. Amen. He's not just with us in trouble. He's with us to deliver us. Amen. The psalmist said it this way, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Glory to God. Just lift up your voice, lift up your hands and thank God that he delivers you out of them all. Woo, glory to God. I've seen the hand of the Lord. Decade upon decade, year after year, I've seen the hand of the Lord bring many of you through the valley of the shadow of death. Number three, he is also in us. He is in us. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit comes into the life of every believer at the new birth. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into you to make his home in you. He's your comforter. He's your advocate. He's your strengthener. He's your intercessor. He's your standby. Glory to God, he's your counselor. And he lives on the inside. A good friend of mine wrote a book called The Guide on the Inside. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will show you things to come. He will bring all things to your remembrance. In John chapter 14, here's what the Master said in verse 16 and 17. And I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may live with you until next week. No, forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And so at salvation, we receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And we could look at scripture after scripture that the apostle talked about this indwelling Spirit. One thing he said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Amen. Amen. And here's a very important point to remember about the Holy Spirit. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which belong to him. As you become God inside minded, and as you live your life with the consciousness that the greater one lives on the inside of you, this will enhance your life spiritually. As you're conscious of his presence, you will become less conscious of the pull of the world. How many of you know that there's a pull out there in the world system? Trying to lure us away, trying to distract us from the consciousness of the greater one who lives on the inside of us. And this world is filled with distractions. I mean, you think about the scripts and the movies and the television programs. And a lot of the music that's out there, it all has the beat of the spirit of this world. And if we're not conscious, if we don't live in the consciousness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can be activated by going down the wrong road in our lives. Amen. You know, a lot of what people think are great movies and great things, that's awesome and wonderful. But you have to understand, there's a person that wrote those. And what is that person all about? What kind of a spirit does that person have? So I'm encouraging you today to live in the consciousness of the greater one who lives on the inside of you. He said over in 1 John 4:4, greater, say it with me, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Smith Wigglesworth got a revelation of that many years ago. And he read that and he said, well, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Woo, glory to God. Why? Because he had a revelation of the greater one. He's greater than what you're facing. He's greater than the disease. He's greater than the debt. He's greater than the rebellion in your family. He's much greater. The Bible says of Jesus, when he spoke of his Father, he said, my Father is greater than all. Glory to God. He is greater than whatever you may face. He is greater because he's poured out his mercy and he's poured out his grace upon your life. Oh, say it with me again, the greater one. Lives on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know what else he's greater than? He's greater than addiction. He's greater than alcoholism. You know what else he's greater than? He's greater than falling back into sin. How many of you have been delivered from something? But understand this, your deliverance must be stood in.
That's right.
What do you mean must be stood in? We must stand fast.
Stand fast.
In the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Why, Pastor? So that we be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, addictions are not, well, that's my problem. Addictions aren't your problem. Addiction comes from the enemy. Addiction is sin. Amen. And he's greater than that. He's greater than drug addiction.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
You know what else he's greater in? He's greater than pornography addiction. Oh, yeah, I know the pull of the world is out there. And I know that the enemy will try to trap people in that. But remember this. You do not have to yield to something that he's delivered you from. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. I don't know why I'm getting off on this, but this is good anyway. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this. Giving thanks to the Father.
Yeah.
Who has made us able to to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now notice in verse 13, did you wear your shouting clothes today?
Yes.
Notice verse 13, it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You see, a lot of people are trying and striving to be delivered, but the Bible says he's already delivered you.
Hallelujah.
He's already delivered you. That means that deliverance is eternal.
Amen.
That deliverance is once and for all.
Amen.
He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal deliverance, eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
We're eternally redeemed from anything and everything that would try to lure us away.
Amen.
Or to bring us back into bondage.
Amen.
My name is Mark Thomas, and I approve of this message. Woo, glory to God. It's about freedom. And you know, then sometimes Christians get all pompous and righteous and they point their fingers at this addiction and that addiction. What about your worry addiction? Huh? Yielding to worry is as much a sin as yielding to whatever it might be. Amen. Did you know that as a Christian, you don't have to worry?
Amen. Hallelujah.
So why are you so worried? Well, I grew up in a home where my mama worried and my daddy worried. And my grandparents worried. I was around world champion worriers my whole life. And I guess I'm just a son of worry. No, don't say that. You're a son of God. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You do not have to worry. I was listening to John Osteen last night. Not Joel, John. John Osteen's been in heaven since 1999. He passed away when he was 77 years old. But he said, 100% of the things I worried about never came to pass. Glory to God. The devil has a very poor record of bringing to pass what he's bringing to your mind. So what do you do with the thoughts that come to your mind? Don't listen to them. Cast them down. Slap them down. Take your name. Take the word and put them on the run. Oh, but Pastor Mark, if I'm not going to worry, what am I going to do? I'm glad you asked. The Bible gives us the secret of what to do instead of worrying. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, said, be careful for nothing. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But, notice this with me, in everything. Everything. Everything about your job. Everything about your body. Everything about your rebellious kids. In everything. In everything. Including the Warriors losing in the playoffs. In everything. Including the Giants on a slump. In everything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything. Everything. In traffic. Boy, traffic is a golden opportunity for your flesh just to... Looking at that hoopty car in front of you and the person on the left and the person on the right, and you are just flat stuck in traffic and you're already 10 minutes late in everything. Take the opportunity in traffic to pray for the person next to you. Take the opportunity in traffic to lift up your voice and say, thank God I don't have a care. I'm full of the peace of God that passes all understanding. I refuse to have any anxiety about this in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. In everything. Everything about your life. Every day. About the projects maybe that you're working on in your business. Do your best, but don't worry. Like the prophet said of old, don't worry, be happy. Amen. Yeah. In everything. I don't know what your everything is, but I know what my everything is. And I know what I have to do to deal with my everything. Yeah, the first thing is not worry about it.
That's right.
Know this, that God's got me.
Yeah.
Know this, that God's got you.
Yeah.
And then start praying. Pray, pray, pray. And as you pray, the Holy Spirit will oftentimes show you exactly what to do and what not to do. So be careful for nothing. Cast all your care upon me. Because I care for you. And I want you to live long. I want you to live long. And I want you to fulfill everything that I put in your heart to do. So if you're going to live long and live strong, you can't be carrying excess baggage. Sometimes excess baggage is people. Now, this is not in my notes. But let's go with it. Hebrews chapter 12, notice with me Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 says this, "Therefore, seeing we are also encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what?"
Every.
Come on, class, wake up. Let us lay aside what?
Every weight.
Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to pay particular attention to that phrase, let us lay aside every weight. In the Olympics, what they would do in those days is they would train with weights on them. But when there was time for the race, what they would do is they would lay aside the weights. Signifying that in the race, they would be able to run lighter and faster and quicker. Not running like me. But they would be able to live or run, if you will, with a freedom of the weights on them.
Yes.
God doesn't want us to be weighed down.
No, He doesn't.
There are weights in our lives that we all must lay aside.
Yes, that's
right. I know what my weights are, but I don't have any idea what your weights are, and it's really none of my business. But we are to lay aside the weights. And as we lay aside the weights that we face in life, we'll be able to run. We'll be able to endure. And we'll be able to finish our race that God has designed for us. Look with me at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 in the Message translation, if you would. Look at Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. If you remember last week's message, we talked a lot about how healing is spelled obey, healing is spelled repent, but healing is also spelled R-E-S-T, rest. Everyone say rest. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, "Are you tired or worn out, burned out on religion?" I think we can all say yes to that. He says, "Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest." I submit to you this morning that as you lay aside your weights and as you become more God inside minded, you will have rest, real rest in your soul. Next verse, verse 29. "Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I will not let anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I will not lay it on you." Amen.
Amen?
So lay it aside. Verse 30, let's read it together. "Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Ooh, glory to God. Oh, Pastor Mark, it must just be a heavy burden pastoring this church for 43 years. I don't know how in the world you make it. No. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Say with me,
I'm going to live
light,
light,
and easy.
As I lay aside
all the weights. Amen. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. As we approach Pentecost Sunday, I just want to remind you that the Word of God shows us a dual working of the Spirit of God in our lives. There is an experience subsequent to salvation, and that's called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Once a person is born again, they should earnestly seek to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24:49, he said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Until you be endued, clothed, or fully equipped, or empowered from on high." That's the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, here's what the Master said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the outermost part of the earth." This work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is an empowerment for service. R.A. Torrey said this, "In the new birth, there's an impartation of life, and the one who receives it is saved. But in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, there's an impartation of power, and the one who receives it is fitted for service." I said a few moments ago that I was listening to John Osteen last night. Listen to this quote from him. "The Holy Ghost is not a luxury. He's a necessity." And he went on to say, "You cannot live victorious Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit." When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it will enhance your life spiritually. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were all in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Somebody say, glory to God. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Read verse 4 with me. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." It's important for you to know that the Holy Spirit has already been given over 2,000 years ago. And it's important for you to know, every one of us to know, that this gift is for everyone for all time. In Acts 2:39, it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, any as many as the Lord our God shall call." And receiving the Holy Spirit is just so easy. You don't have to beg. You don't have to tarry. All you've got to do is open your heart and receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you know what else? You don't have to be worried that you're going to get an evil spirit. No, no, no. In Luke 11:11-13, it says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a fish? Or give him a serpent?" Verse 12, "Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Read verse 13 with me. Ready, read. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more?" How much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Now notice with me, we have to ask. He's a gentleman. He's just not going to abruptly force someone on you. It's available, but we must be available for it. We must ask Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. How many know the Spirit upon us brings the evidence of speaking in other tongues? There's an empowerment for you and I to communicate with our Creator supernaturally. And it just opens up so many adventures in God. Receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit is like going through a door. And the other side of that door, there's the supernatural. How many of you know He has words of knowledge for you? He has words of wisdom for you. As He wills, He can even speak through you prophetically. As He wills, He can even show you by discerning of spirits, a demonic spirit, so that you can address with it. In many cases, He'll show people angels. How many of you know that angels are real? And this very room is filled with angels. Glory to God. Glory to God. When I was a young man, Annette Caseman, Jim Caseman's daughter, saw my angel in a time of prayer. We were in a basement in Minnesota, and we were having a prayer of intercession, praying fervently for various things in the community. And the Lord opened her eyes and showed her my angel. He was big. I said, of course, this is kind of carnal, what'd he look like? You know, a lot of people want to know, well, Jesus appeared to me. Well, what did He look like? Well, what did He say? She said, He was big. And I didn't say He was bad. She said, He was big and He looked like Mr. Clean. Well, you got angels all around you. He's given His angels charge over you to protect you, to keep you in all your ways. Did you know that when you go through life, there's an angel assigned to you? We don't want to ignore Him any more than we want to ignore the Holy Spirit. So when we go through this door of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I mean, wow. I can remember when I was saved way back in the 70s. Yeah, I was born again. But a couple weeks later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was like, things started opening up to me. I'd read the Word of God, and it was kind of like it was like enlightenment coming into my heart and into my mind. That's the presence, that's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus basically was saying to His disciples, don't leave home without Him. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Friends, don't let this Pentecost Sunday pass you by. Don't leave Pentecost Sunday without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then, if you are filled, how many of you know it's important to stay filled? I mean, like water, right? Somebody says, well, I drank 8 cups of water yesterday. Well, what are you going to do today? Because we all know that water leaks. Is that right? Just as you were filled with water yesterday, you need to be filled with water today to sustain life. Amen. And just as you were filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. The Apostle Paul, dealing with the church at Ephesus, he says, but be being filled. In other words, you were filled. Now it's time for you to continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're going to have an infilling, a refilling service next Sunday night. Don't miss it. It is going to be literally out of this world. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to be prepared. Get that little book by Brother Hagin, 7 Steps to the Infilling of the Holy Spirit. Read it. And as you come, last year at this time, on Pentecost Sunday, we had, I don't know how many people, about 20 filled with the Holy Ghost. It was awesome. And we're believing God for some really good things. Amen?
Yes.
So remember this, that God is for you.
Yes.
And God is with you.
Yes.
and God is in you.